Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Right After. I am your host, Wellington Gomez, and I'm here with my co-host. Hi, Ricky.
Hi.
And today we have a special co-host in New York City in person, my sister. Hi, Kadian.
Hi, Wellington. Hi, Ricky.
I am so happy that you're here.
I'm happy to be
in
here
person.
Too. In person.
How are you today?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I am super blessed. You know, I was a little late to this, but you know.
It was.
Better.
We're Libras.
Listen, we're all three Libras.
Oh my God, we're all three Libras. Yeah. This is a Libra show.
Let's tip the scale.
Well, listen, let's get into what we came here for, because the streets of reality TV have been very, very hectic in the last time that we spoke. If you haven't seen my interview with Winter Harris, I did an exclusive interview with her last week. Go back and listen to that. It's very good. And it gets into some mess when it comes to the love and marriage DC people.
And they still carrying.
And they still carry. That interview, I heard lawyers got involved because of that interview, honey.
Like,
it's been a lot. I'm still trying to get Jamie and Arena on the podcast. Jamie, if you're listening, I know you are. Come on, because you had a lot.
Come on down and clear the air.
Clear the air, honey. You got a lot to say on Twitter and about Winter's interview. So why not come and, you know,
yeah,
let's discuss.
Bring all the smoke.
Bring all the smoke. Today we wanted to do things a little different. As we recap our favorite shows, we are noticing a pattern across several reality TV programs. So I wanted to kind of like break things down. But before we get into it, let's get on the word on the street and what's happening in Hot Topics. Do you guys hear about Portia Williams accused of refusing to work with NeNe Leakes on the set of The Upshaws?
I did hear that, and I have thoughts. I have a few notes.
Okay, so what are your notes? Let me know.
So Portia and NeNe were supposed to make a cameo on The Upshaws.
Mm-hmm.
Portia backed out last minute saying that due to past issues, she didn't want to work with NeNe.
Right.
The production company told NeNe that, which was their mistake. I don't think they should have, you know, because she's a producer sitting right here.
Right.
I would never tell another correspondent for a talent rundown or yeah. talent that, oh, we couldn't have you because such and such. It's just messy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even if Portia told her that, you still got booked. So right. it didn't impact your job. But she's trying to fight her reputation and trying to get unblackballed. So I get how she was upset. I always say this all the time. Two things can be true. But what I want to start with is Portia, because I'm a portion. I love Portia down.
A portion.
She stands Portia down.
We've gotten into fights in the group chat over Portia.
I'm a portion. I'm going to admit it. I'm a portion. But she was wrong. I feel like she didn't want to be associated with NeNe professionally.
Why? Hold on. Like, Portia Williams was just with NeNe cackling.
Yeah.
Down to all of the vacations that they have gone to.
Right.
And you don't want to work with NeNe on the set of a Netflix show where it's scripted?
But like, listen,
where's the beef? I don't understand it.
Because of NeNe's relationship with unscripted television, scripted television, etc., she has went to war with networks, right? And so because Portia, I feel, inked this big deal with Bravo and this is her comeback, she doesn't want to ruffle any feathers. So they say they might not have put in paper, we don't want you to work with NeNe, but I'm sure they said something to her. Just like when these girls want to do all kind of shows, the network will step in and say, you can't do that show, or we don't think it's in your best interest to do X, Y, and Z. So although I think they're cool and they party together, I think that's a little different from working together. Now as Portia's trying to navigate and work her way back into the universe, she just didn't have any time for any of NeNe's mishaps. And now look, there's a mishap.
Right.
I was going to say, I think even if that's the case, why not call her and be like, girl, I'm not even trying to be messy or anything, but they definitely feel a way about me working with
you. You don't think NeNe would have said that?
I think...
I feel like if Portia would have came to NeNe with more of an upright and honest, like, yo, sis, like, this is, like, off the record. Like, I'm trying to have a serious conversation with you. I'm all here for you to get back into the industry. I think that what they've done to you has been fucked up. This is the situation that we're in right now. What do you, like, I don't know, just talk about it with her, because I feel like the friendship is there for you to talk about it.
Right, but I think Portia feared NeNe. anything that goes on with Nene, anything that goes on with Nene, she take it to the blogs or she take it to social media. Mm-hmm. So if I say, well, the network don't want me working with you, then she's back all over the internet saying, Bravo, it blackballing me. They're preventing Portia. They're preventing jobs. So I think the good thing Portia did was she ate it. I'm just not going to work on the Upshaws and I'm going to let you have it, sis.
Well, but
at the same time.
Well, she didn't know that. She didn't know whether or not they would have chosen her or
she backed out.
Right?
They chose both of them.
Yeah, right? They chose both of them.
Yeah. So to me, I feel like if I called up Ricky and was like, Ricky, unfortunately, you know, I just signed this big deal. Mm-hmm. I got a lot going on with Simon, all of that. She could have simply been like, you already understand what it is. They don't want you around. But I'm just going to back out so you could still stay.
Right. Even
get
if
your money. Yeah. Work with Cynthia. Work with whoever else.
I agree with that.
I think the part where Portia messed up and where a lot of people see faults in Portia is how she's dishonest and she frequently does it. Because I would have been like, you already know they don't like you.
But she could have gave many excuses. Yes. I'm going through a divorce. Yes. I'm mm-hmm. depressed. I'm booked.
Portia hasn't even to this day spoken on this yet. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like.
Is she wrong?
But it's kind of like, you know, unlike her, Nene did take to Instagram and she said, I haven't seen Portia. We've always have had good laughs when we've seen each other. So I was like, okay, me and Portia are going to kill this part. Portia never came. We wrapped for the evening. I went back to my hotel. And when I got back to my hotel, production called me and asked me if I had an issue with any housewives because they were going to be recasting the other position. Further explaining the situation, she added, I was later told Portia did not show up to work and has said that she did not want to work with me, that we had issues from the past and she did not want to work with me. Nene ended with saying that at the bottom line is that Portia did not want to share the spotlight.
And I believe it. Yeah. I believe it.
I don't think it's about she does spotlight.
That, but she does that even on Roa too. I think when it comes on to the stars of the show, she's obviously one of the likable housewives.
Right.
She's a fun girl, mm-hmm. princess of Totlandia, whatever mm-hmm. she calls it. I just feel like if you're my friend, I'm going out with you, I'm taking pictures with you, or whatever we're perceiving to the public, the least I could do is say, hey, they already don't like you. I'm just going to back out so you could stay there. Nene's well aware that they don't want her around,
right?
But she still has mouths to feed and yeah. she still has to keep the lights on. I just think when you're dishonest on top of now being completely silent, it just makes you look more guilty.
Yeah, especially when it comes to entertainment stuff. I feel like, you know, just working with people in media and stuff like that, like, you just gotta be purely honest about, like, your intentions and stuff like that. And if there's ever, like, a sticky situation, I feel like the best thing that you can do is kind of, like, even if the conversation is awkward, is tell a person, hey, this is what's going on. How can we both work out this situation where, like, it's in our both of our interests? And I personally thought, from what I saw on social media and what, you know, they kiki-ing all the time on vacation, dinners, etc., parties that they were throwing and they were supporting each other events in Atlanta, I thought that their relationship was to that point where, like, Portia could call Nene about
it. I 100% agree with what you guys are saying in a scenario. Like, if that was mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. I would have laid and filleted Wellington for something like that. But I just think Nene is a liability in how she handles situations. She doesn't mm-hmm. handle situations the best when it comes to networks. You know, all of it. She yeah. just...
So it's just better to avoid Nene on and all because it's like whatever...
I don't think it's better to avoid Nene, but it's just like if, you know, she got booked for the Upshaws, she must have been saying, I'm doing this. Word got back and they probably called her and said, mm-hmm. we don't want you in preparation for the season. We don't want you associated.
That's very true.
We don't want you associated with Nene. So now she's like, I think the only thing she went wrong at is being dishonest about the why. And I feel like it's because she didn't want to throw Bravo under the bus because they're cutting her a pretty big check, I'm sure. So she had to find a scapegoat. I just feel like the scapegoat should not have been that. And then for Nene to counter with posting pictures, hanging out with Simon's new girlfriend.
With Simon,
is
way okay,
crazy.
So back to that. Do you now let's talk about, this is my thing. Mm-hmm. Two wrongs do not make a right. And I can understand, like, you are pissed that Portia did this or whatever, whatever. You going to go chill with Simon while he has a new girl in his arm when he is going through a divorce with Portia and then making a scene, hiding behind the fact that, oh, I'm just here with my man. He's friends with Simon. And it's like, I'm just here with my man acting as if, like, she somehow her man's item or something. Right. Like, as if she's not, like, kind of like the
like
nucleus.
She's not Nene. She can't make decisions.
Right.
But what? That's why Portia says she's had issues. This is not just about the Upshaws. She says she has issues. So maybe that's been going on behind closed doors for a while. Mm-hmm. Little tatty things. And Bravo finally gave Portia a reason to...
But also, it's just like, it gives the impression that you've been hanging with this girl and you've been new about her and I'm supposed to be your little sister.
Exactly.
So I think that was the underlying layer with you didn't even text me when you heard I was getting a divorce. So I think it's a lot of things going on. And it's been a lot of things going on in that friendship, if I'm being honest. But I feel like in friendship, when you fight in relationships, any relationship, you have to learn to fight fair. And Nene goes way below the belt sometimes.
Yeah.
Always. Because now she's saying she's starless. She's only a Bravo celebrity.
And it is.
I mean,
that's just not the truth. That's just not the truth.
What other jobs has Portia had?
I mean, I...
Wait, name them.
Moving on.
And I love my sister, but...
No, you're right. Well... Onto some more serious news. Former RuPaul's Drag Race star Shangela accused of multiple sexual assaults. A bombshell report claims that multiple people are accusing former RuPaul's Drag Race contestant Shangela of sexual assaulting them. According to the report from the Rolling Stone, four people are accusing Shangela, whose government name is Chantez Darius Jeremy Pierce, of either sexually assaulting them or attempting to have sex with them when they were too inebriated to consent.
Yikes.
Why he just keep Chantez? But go ahead.
I was going to say, that name is cute.
No, Chantez is cute, right? Like, Chantez is real cute.
This is a very sticky situation because I feel like when you reach a certain level of stardom, the access is there to so many people that want you. So, and you're messing with people who can't even make a decision. It says a lot about your character. It's almost like everything that you've done to break and open doors goes out the way because it's like you have so much that comes your direction willingly.
Yeah.
And you're making the decision to harm other people.
Yeah.
That's a no.
When I saw this, I mean, I'm gonna keep it real. Like, we've seen these stories in the past. Like, this is not the first time that a bombshell report has come out saying that Shangela has sexually assaulted somebody. The Drag Race community has kind of ignored it for some time. And I'm not saying ignored it in the sense of like people are not talking about it, because people are definitely talking about it. And a lot of people, you can go on under each of Shangela's posts on Instagram and you can see people like trying to hold her accountable. Like, why are you not talking about this? Why are you not talking about this? She got a lot of hate when she was recently on Dancing with the Stars. That was the season that she was on with Teresa. And a lot of people kept commenting, like, again, there's so many reports about you. Now this bombshell report from Rolling Stone. Also, a fifth person claims Shangela tried to have sex with them despite the alleged victim rejecting the Drag Race star. Shangela's attorneys called the allegations discussed in the Entertainment Magazine article false and unsupported by any evidence. The allegations against Shangela comes as a drag star promoted a 10-city comedy tour, which includes a stop at Irvine. I'm here for the victims. I am here for justice. I am here for a fair investigation between everything. I think that two things can be true.
Right.
If there's a bunch of people saying one thing, it's really hard to not believe all of these people. But I also believe that everybody has the right to a fair investigation. This is sad because Shangela is a huge... drag LGBTQ icon in the community, especially as a black drag queen. So this is definitely like, it's sad. You don't want to see one of your heroes go down, and Shangela is definitely an LGBTQ hero.
She is, and I'm always going to err on the side of the victim,
of course,
but I think this is an opportunity to talk about consent, because I feel like this happens in a lot of different situations. If somebody's drinking or y'all been drinking, unless that's like your partner, somebody you've been dating for a while, it's just not best to have sex or attempt to have sex with people who are inebriated. And I feel like turn your horny down, please.
And I think that also, like, in the gay community is the waters are so muddy because there's this sense that, like, gay people are so hypersexual. Mm-hmm. So, like, me rubbing on you, me kissing you, me grabbing you in the club or whatever, in whatever, like, gay scene, to some people, that's okay. But at the end of the day, it's not. Like, you should not go around just because you're in the gay club. Does not mean that you can touch every guy that's in there. Right. Just because we're gay and in a gay environment does not mean that everybody here wants to have sex, that everybody here is hypersexual or even wants to be touched. So I think that that's a struggle in the community, because I see that a lot, even going on myself. Like, it's just so easy for people to get into mess because they don't know how to keep their hands to themselves.
And I mean, right, to your point, that does happen frequently in pretty much everybody's community. Mm-hmm. But when it's multiple people, multiple times, you have an issue.
Right.
And, you know, like you said, this is America. You're innocent till proven guilty. But you have to also realize, too, if you had this happen in the past, like, take control of how you go out, how you party, mm-hmm, how you handle yourself. Because, like you said, I might rub up on you and I like it, and maybe the next time you see me, I don't. And then also, people are opportunists as well. So you have to be very careful of how you carry yourself. Because mm-hmm, you might know they were willing and wanting to, and then all of a sudden they don't. And you have to respect those boundaries.
And employ verbal consent. Like, as I've gotten older, you know how we make jokes on Twitter? He talk you through it. I'm going to talk because I want to make sure we both know what's going on.
Right.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, it's touchy, but.
Well, talking about heroes falling, this is so very sad news. This is very sad news.
That's my
heart broke. Y'all know I've been going off.
Castmates, I want you guys to know that when I saw this, when I got this notification on my phone, I was literally heartbroken. The Real Housewives of Potomac star Karen Huger charged with a DUI following a car crash, honey.
She done crashed a Maserati.
Oh my God. According to court documents obtained by the Reality Rundown, the Real Housewives of Potomac star was driving her 2017 Maserati when she was stopped by the Montgomery County Police Department in Maryland at 11:50 p.m. on Tuesday. She was officially charged with driving a vehicle while impaired by alcohol and driving while under the influence of alcohol. She has a mandatory court appearance. The reality star and entrepreneur is also facing charges of negligently driving a vehicle in a careless and imprudent manner, endangering property, life, and person, as well as recklessly driving a vehicle in wanton and willful disregard for the safety of a person and property. Other charges include failure to control vehicle speed on the highway to avoid a collision, driving a vehicle in an excess of reasonable and prudent speed on the highway, driving a vehicle on the highway with suspended registration.
Mm-mm. Not the Maserati, wasn't it?
And failure to notify administration of change of address within 30 days. Karen had a mess on her paperwork.
It's like you want to say, oh my God, it's not that bad. And then it just keeps on getting bad.
Bro.
It just keeps on getting worse.
Auntie Huger was having her a time. We all had a time.
My whole thing is like,
driven drunk.
You had all of these. Auntie, we love you. We love you down.
That's very dangerous. Nobody should drive drunk.
Nobody.
And be crashing into light poles and posts.
It's irresponsible. We were on Shannon from Our Show C's ass when that happened a couple months ago. And Karen, we're also going to be on your ass because you are a grown woman and you know better. You also have the access to get an Uber to call anybody to come get you. So there's clearly no excuse for you to be driving while under the influence of alcohol.
Raven could have picked you up. She wasn't doing nothing but playing in your wigs.
And I'm sure you knew that your registration was suspended and that you hadn't notified the DMV of your change of address. So what makes you think that it's okay to go driving while you're drinking?
Somebody could have gotten out. Listen, to Karen. Somebody. I just think
Karen was busy being a grand dame.
I just think when you're emotional and you've been drinking, mm-hmm, I know sometimes you don't think about the correct stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You're just in your head. I'm going home. Press gas. But you have to think mm-hmm, in those moments, and even the people around you, not saying anyone's responsible for Karen, but Karen. But if you are saying on Twitter, you know, me and my girl was talking, I'm grieving my mom, Mother's Day's coming up. that's a quick time for you to say, maybe I should put whatever down I'm drinking because I have to take myself home. Or, okay, I'm going to keep drinking to numb the pain. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take an Uber. Because this could have ended completely bad.
Well, like you said, she began saying, thank you for all of your prayers and well wishes during this very frightening experience. I'm still in shock from last night's incident, but grateful to be alive today. With the passing of my beloved mother, grief comes and goes in waves. And with Mother's Day approaching, it has felt more like a tsunami. Huger, whose parents died within 7 months of each other in 2017, added, last night I met a girlfriend for dinner. We talked and brought up some very emotionally sensitive topics. I was crying on my way home and I saw a car heading right for me. I swerved to avoid the head-on collision, hit the divider, and then a tree. I'm hurt, bruised up a bit, but so grateful that I am alive. I did receive citations, one of which was unrelated to the incident, which is understandable. But what was most surprising is that the car that almost hit me just drove away. She concluded by reminding fans to understate your emotional state before getting behind the wheel, crediting her mother, whom she called her guardian angel, and her seatbelt for saving her life.
Well, let's see where her alcohol level was, because maybe it was, I don't know. All I want to say.
We don't have an alcohol level. That's important, too.
Let's wait for the alcohol level.
That's important, too.
We're glad you're alive, Aunt Karen, and register that car.
Register that car, honey. And notify them that you change your address.
No.
Is it a Potomac? We're not going to read you because they're going to drag you next season.
Yeah,
they really are.
Some people feel like this is saving the season or giving some of the girls a storyline because they feel like, oh, you know, Karen got a DUI. The girls are going to be talking about it. And this is a perfect segue to go into our RSOP breakdown that we wanted to talk here on Reality right after. And specifically, before we get into the season and the latest episode, let's break down how we got to this place with the ladies. I want to lay out a timeline of events that speaks to the apparent favoritism and colorism that is happening within the series and how, all in all, this is hurting one of our favorite shows.
And it's happening across several different franchises. And so what we want to do is talk about the state of reality TV, how it got here, and what we feel like can bring it back to a place where it's more watchable. Because
where do you think that everything began when it comes to
sisterhood?
For Potomac,
really missing.
Monique Samuels enters the chat, right? And and what I want to talk about is a lot of these, all Real Housewives shows are based in elitism. We want to find the girls who grew up with money, who have money, who are famous, who, you know, and display a lifestyle that us commoners are not used to. That's
right.
The premise of Real Housewives is the soft life thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at Potomac and you look at women like Giselle and Robin, who are what society tells us are the it girls, and Giselle, who comes from Jack and Jill, and her father was in civil rights, and so she comes from this kind of wealthy family, and she was married to the pastor, and she supposedly did everything right, still not have what society tells us the dream is for women, a marriage, a home, wealthy, a kept life, essentially. Mm-hmm. In walks Monique, who's from Atlantic City, not as polished, beautiful girl, married, kid.
Moved down to Atlantic City. She's from the hood up north. She moved down.
No, she's from the hood. It's the hood. Atlantic City, too. No them shade to Atlantic City. No shade.
No shade to the hood. Fuck out of here.
Me and Wellington are also from New Jersey, so no shade. Here's a girl who comes from the hood, married to this guy, multiple homes, entrepreneur, mom, and now she's a
housewife. Brought real money. Like
real money.
Real coin. And Giselle immediately hated her. And so that's where the colorism kind of entered the chat, because Giselle didn't feel like any of the other women were a threat. And so then they worked to calculate to get Monique off the show. And so they used Candace as a tool, where her and Monique, we love Candy. Candy's a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Monique and Candace get into a tuft. They have this whole season breakdown. They get Monique off the show. During the reunion, Monique sprayed.
I think that goes down in history as one of the most successful takedowns at a reunion from one cast member to another. The way that Monique sprayed down Giselle at that reunion, at that season 5 reunion with
and
that
binder. And
they
didn't even air it all. So that's how we know the favoritism exists, because Giselle was crying and breaking down and they didn't air it.
Right.
And I don't like that. I think she gets away with too much. And I'm actually going to say that the colorism stuff started back, or you're not black enough from Katie. Mm-hmm. They used to press her so much, her Giselle and Robin, about, are you really black? You know, trying to get Katie to claim her blackness and all of those things. I think that's what I was saying earlier. Sisterhood is missing because they consistently poke and show their true colors, and people can never enjoy the show.
Right.
Like, look at where it is today.
Let me add a few more points so we can talk about today. They get Monique off the show. Mm-hmm. They paint her as a ghetto, violent chick from the hood who mm-hmm. doesn't need to be on the show. They push her.
They were disgusted. Giselle even brought security.
They get her off the show. And Wendy enters the chat. Mm-hmm. Educated, successful, married, rich. They attacked Candace because she comes from generational wealth. Mm-hmm. Here's Wendy with this happy marriage.
Money. Career. Degrees.
First, they accuse her of having plastic surgery because she was unhappy at home. Mm-hmm. Then Ashley brought her friend on, and they said that Eddie was smiling and wanted to sleep with her friend.
Yeah, being promiscuous.
Yeah. Then they started to spread rumors about Eddie dating some random white girl to mm-hmm. try to break. And then they just turned on Wendy, mm-hmm. right? When Wendy clocked it, they turned to Candace. Chris tried to sexually assault Giselle. Chris wanted to sleep because Giselle. Let's back up. They also spread a rumor that Monique's youngest baby wasn't her husband's baby.
Right.
So these are like consistent narratives of Giselle.
Ashley brings in Deborah.
Right. Giselle attacking families. Ashley and Robin playing wingman for her. And now Mia too. Mia attacks Wendy, beats her with a purse, gets violent with her. They didn't call her a ghetto hood rat, et cetera, et cetera. And so now it seems like Giselle's clique versus Wendy and Candace, and there's no moving on. They don't want to, seems like they don't want to interact with them in scenes. They don't want to acknowledge them. And then when it comes to things that are situational, the goalpost is always moving. They're always wrong.
Moving.
And so there are cliques, there is production favoritism where production isn't fairly editing the episode so we can see flashbacks from both girls to seem like to steer the fandom into supporting Giselle, but we're just not having it. And so now the current state of the show is, it's so mean and so hard to watch darker skinned black women be attacked in this way to the point where it's like, we're in the age of like consciousness. So it's like, I can't in good faith watch this show and kiki because it's not funny.
Right.
It's unbearable. And so we have to break those, the click up. But what are you guys' thoughts?
I agree with you. I think that you're 100% right. I think that there is a clear problem, and it's really a systematic problem when it comes to the show, because it goes down, like you said, to the editing, production. I will say that I think that the network has shown notice to that, which is why we've seen Candace and Wendy done press tours recently, like that. And I will say that that is a positive action when it comes to hearing that your fan base feels like these are the women that are mostly attacked and put down on the show and not are not fairly represented. So let's have these women do promo for the show, right? I think that we said this a long time ago. Potomac is down a bad road when it comes to surviving. We're right now celebrating 10 years of Married to Medicine. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say that Married to Medicine can go for at least 5 more, you know? They have managed to, through everything, and I'm telling you, those Married to Medicine ladies have gone through a lot. Mm-hmm. They have managed to still feel and keep a core sisterhood to the group. You know, even if they have to fake it, that sisterhood of that Married to Medicine, between the Married to Medicine women, comes off even through the camera as real, at least as they care about it. And I think that for Potomac, they've gotten into this place, kind of like with the Salt Lake City girls, of we're just here to make TV. And when those cameras are up, I don't necessarily have to like put on my real life. I just have to give them what the fans want to see. So let's
been doing that,
but. You know
we're
what?
Not doing nothing.
We don't got to be good friends outside the show. Go ahead, Katie. And
I think the major problem is once Giselle has an issue, nothing can go well till she's good. Mm-hmm. And she's never good. She's even done it to Robin too. And I think one thing I've learned from old Atlanta is you have to come back to each other, figure it out, and figure it out fast. Like, it's like 7 episodes in and we're still, I'm not talking to her because I don't like her.
Right.
I'm not saying hello. There's no nothing.
I'm not going to open the door for her.
Yeah, it's...
But listen, okay, so this is my thing. This is my thing. When you look at the scene by scene stuff, I definitely feel like towards the later, right now, like where the season is in the last couple episodes that have aired, we have seen that the ladies have kind of gotten to like, I don't know if production stepped in or something, but they're starting to address a little bit. Giselle walked into the GNA, Wendy walked into the GNA event and said, you know, congratulations to Giselle. And Giselle responded, thank you, I appreciate it. And even Ashley was like, good, progress, you know, whatever. I think that
seemed forced to
they're not gonna become best friends from you know, night and day. A lot was said during season 7.
The issue is so, the show is anchored around Giselle.
Yeah.
It's her duty as an anchor. Portia pulled Kenya out of her reunion seat by her hair.
Mm-hmm.
If they can reconcile and be like, you know what? I'm going to do this show. Kenya tried to sleep with Phaedra's husband.
Yeah. I think that this is the problem with that I have with reality TV also and production. When you produce reality TV, of course, everything has to be real, right? So if Giselle doesn't want to talk to Wendy, you can't force them to talk. But I do think that if we're filming a show, you have to give me a one-on-one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
You have to give me a one-on-one. I'm not going to tell you what to do, what to say to her. You don't have to make up with her. But y'all got to give me a one-on-one because we're filming a show.
Yeah. We have to, and that's what I mean about favoritism, because it's like, I can force you to talk. If you want to be on this show...
That's my whole thing. Is like people say, like, you know how the housewives always say, I am so glad that I was on the show because I would have never talked to my dad if it wasn't because the show forced me. So it's okay for that, but it's not okay for the show to force housewives to like talk to each other. So like at least they're, when I saw Wendy,
it goes back.
Yeah, it goes back to what Ricky says. When it's anchored around someone who's refusing to even have cordial conversation, to even bring the sisterhood back in. It's me, my side, and them.
Mm-hmm.
And she's recruiting, like, one by one. She got Robin. She got Mia. Karen's like, you know, I'm nice to everybody. I'm a floater. Mm-hmm. And then it's Wendy and Candace.
But she has already tried to clock Karen, too, with the whole, you act different when the other girls come around.
Right. And when, for me, no matter what Candace and Wendy's doing, they think it's about them.
Right.
And it's nasty, it's mean, but whatever they do is not nasty, it's not mean. And it's like, how long can that go on?
Yeah.
I want to go, y'all are in the same house in another country,
right,
and can't even sit at a breakfast table and be like, girl, that's a cute pajama.
Right.
Nothing.
I will say that there comes to a point where like Giselle and Robin feel like they have a reasonable reason to not mess with Candace and Wendy.
Whether they do or whatever.
Candace and Wendy also feel like they have a reasonable reason as to why they don't mess with Giselle and Robin.
But they still
valid
play.
Reason. But and the they difference still play. Is, you're right, Ricky.
The difference is they accuse Candace's husband of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
Candace still came into the season ready to talk and ready to be friends.
She
That's
did.
The difference.
She did.
Candace didn't do anything but say, well, we all knew that Robin's husband be cheating on her. We all knew that.
Yes. Right.
So
Robin's a little in denial.
She's in denial, but nothing is comparable. So you accused my husband of sexual assault, which could have ruined our business, which could have ruined our marriage. All
our reputation.
Things. I still came on the Ensemble Cast show. Right. Ready to work. So I'm not understanding. Michael Darby was suing her. She still came in kick, ready to work with Ashley. Mm-hmm. It's not the same.
It's not
and
the
so
same.
It's just like, if you don't want to play ball, if you don't want to be ensemble, if you don't want to be a get off the show.
Yeah.
That's how I feel too. And the thing-
She ain't no diva.
Go ahead.
The thing that I really don't like about Giselle,
mm-hmm.
besides Giselle,
mm-hmm.
is that she feels like it's her or nothing. And it's not about you. Because if the show goes off air tomorrow, we still don't care about you.
Right.
But it is but her because present. Production shows her it's her.
Right. But that's production and Giselle. But we don't want that. The fans are even fighting against each other because we're telling them we don't want this no more.
Yeah.
And it's like Potomac went from being like the next up to like turn this off.
No, I will say that they really did. There was a time where Potomac was beating Beverly Hills in the ratings. And they were really next up.
Yeah.
And them season seven.
The show was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
And it stemmed from Giselle being a hater.
Yeah.
if Monique and Candace would have duked it out and worked their issues out in the following season, mm-hmm. to the mountaintop.
Cool. And I wouldn't, and you know, season six was weird. Season seven was even weirder. Mm-hmm. And now season eight, we are here in the result of two seasons that didn't feel genuine. People said a lot of things that shouldn't have said. And now there's this friendship super broken. A lot of people don't want to talk to each other. The reunion has been filmed. Some people have said, you know, some of the housewives have said that they do get into some type of resolution waters at the reunion.
Okay. I don't believe it, but okay.
I don't believe it. But to me, if anybody from Potomac is listening to this, specifically Giselle, Robin, Mia, that crew, you're doing your show a disservice if you are not willing to move forward with the people that you are on the show with.
Absolutely.
Like, give them everybody what they want. Move forward with these people and let the storylines play out. Let production decide who gets to stay in and who doesn't get to stay in.
And please don't bring Sharice back. I'm sorry. Or NECA.
Yeah, NECA and Sharice gotta go.
Next caller.
We talked about that whole season and didn't even bring NECA.
Next caller, NECA. She just doesn't even deserve my breath. Next caller.
So, similar to the above conversation, I want to talk about the current state of the relationships on Married to Medicine today. 10 years later, season 10. This season has officially wrapped. We kind of saw this season, kind of Married to Medicine, take a left turn mm-hmm. in so many ways. So first, it took a left turn because they brought in Phaedra and they brought in Sweet Tea, right? Mm-hmm. So that was already gaggy because...
Gag.
You know, like Sweet Tea and Greg being added while Quad is here and then you're adding Phaedra into like, the mix, it's a lot. That was already a left. Then they made another left when Dr. Simone kicked out Quad from the show and basically gave her a thank you for your services.
Here's my issue. This is not Bad Girls Club. We're not putting nobody mattress in the pool. We're not going to have a house meeting and say, let's pack all our stuff. We want her off the show.
Right.
And that's what's going on across these franchises where production has put too much power into these girls' hands.
But the same girls feel like Simone and Toya really said on Reality with the King and said that they don't have the power to make those decisions. That the only thing was that it just didn't feel right for Quad to be there because none of the girls was fucking with her at that point. So why should Quad be there? So that's why we're asking her to leave. But my whole thing is like, how do you not know that's manipulative even right. to yeah, say?
But wasn't she invited?
Yeah, she was on a call sheet.
I don't understand.
But my thing
that.
Is, if I have a show, I'm a producer. And I have a show of 10 women and mm-hmm. nine of the women are all saying, we're not going to film with her. It's in my best interest to say, okay, I'm going to have to dismiss you for the sake of, because we already spent the money.
Right.
Right.
So production is not going to say, but going forward, and that's why it's really tricky to create that dynamic. Mm-hmm. By them letting them ice Mariah out,
mm-hmm.
it set the standard. It put the power in their hands to have these kind of power plays amongst the ladies where Jackie's pulling the strings, like Giselle is in Potomac. Everybody wants to be Jackie's friend. And if you go against Jackie or anybody who's by her wayside, then you might be off the show. And I feel like, I'm going to be honest, and this might be controversial, we don't have to be good friends outside to film a TV show.
No,
we don't have to. My relationship, my friendship with
y'all don't have to be besties.
I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
Because they bring that up a lot where it's like, you don't call me when the cameras are around. Like, okay, there's people I'm very close with that I don't speak to sometimes for months.
But my whole thing is, so to play devil's advocate, the reason why they feel this way is though, because that's fine.
Yeah.
But then when we're on camera and we're shooting, don't make it seem like we're besties.
But we don't, the audience that's watching, we don't care.
Exactly.
We don't care.
But that's the problem.
My thing is, it's not besties. I could be a fun girl. It's not that I don't like you, but we're not, you're not my sister. Mm-hmm. I was getting, leaving a marriage. He was knocking me upside my head. Y'all went on a reunion and said y'all didn't believe he was abusing me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Y'all coochie crunch taking pictures with his new wife.
Mm-hmm. Saying and she's then, much more gorgeous.
Much more attractive, prettier than me. He leveled up and then going to sit on the stage and say, you ain't, why would I call you?
Right.
Let's be realistic. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to show up. I'm going to give you looks. I'm going to give you laughs. I'm going to give
couple
you drama.
Reads.
So our show can keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go about my business. Yeah. And I think that's okay.
Right. I've always said it.
You're right.
Quad is not innocent.
She's not.
But the way in which they behave is so... it's just so unnecessary.
It's high school.
Like, even if you're going to be mean, at least be like, all right, that's valid. But there's no need for it. If you said bad things about me and I said bad things about you, you're just more heavy on me because you have somebody to click up with mm-hmm. to say, oh, what she said was much worse. I'm owed an apology. When they're literally bringing up dead people. It's crazy to me. It's just so to validate how they feel.
So do you think, and this is a question for the both of you, do you think that these ladies came into this season specifically to take down Quad?
Absolutely.
I do. Absolutely. I think they wanted her off.
And my thing is too, knowing that Heavenly already exposed that Quad's gonna be there again, why do they proceed to not say, all right, she's gonna obviously come around again. Let's figure out how we can be cool with her on camera, because we see that's how she plays. She don't talk to us off camera, mm-hmm. but when she does come around, it's gonna be like, hey girl, how are you? Keep it casual, do it for the TV. But they don't seem to get it. They're forcing her to want to be a part of their sisterhood. And I find that weird. If somebody already showed you multiple times that they don't really want to be that close to you,
right.
or they find reasons to not be that close to you, let them be.
And you don't, and also to that point, you don't necessarily, like you said, you don't necessarily have to be besties, because Simone doesn't fuck with Heavenly.
At all.
No, she's actually jealous of Heavenly.
And Simone is not, you know, campaigning for Heavenly to get fired either. So like, if Heavenly can be on the same show that you're on and you guys are not friends and you guys actually don't like each other, why is it that Quad has to be off the show because she's not friends with anybody? She does have relationships on the show. She says that her and Phaedra are okay. She says that her and Heavenly are okay. Are we going to flame Phaedra for flip-flopping like that? Because to me,
we should.
In my opinion, I feel like that was wrong.
Yes.
Because Phaedra was brought into this show. They try to make it seem like it was like a natural fit, like Phaedra, but realistically, it was through Quad.
I really think the network just wanted to test Phaedra and mm-hmm. see how receptive fans would be to her being back on Bravo.
Right.
You took the words out of my
mouth. But she was close in this cast. In Atlanta, going out to the clubs and going out to the events, she was closest to
April
Quad.
Was honest at the reunion, like what Portia didn't do with Nene. I didn't want to go down with a sinking ship. I've been off Bravo for years due mm-hmm. to what I did to Candy.
At least she was
and
honest.
And I'm not about to click up with you when they trying to get you off the show.
Right.
And I'm at least trying she was to figure honest. Out.
I was
right.
going to say, if at least she was honest. Someone we didn't know and she came in through Quad, we wouldn't like her. We'd be like, what was that?
Right.
You're not loyal. You're desperate to
I will
be
say,
here.
Though, Phaedra is so decorated as a Bravo celebrity.
But she is who she is, but I thought that was lame because...
I did think it was lame for her to do it in the show and not also address it in the show and say to Quad, honey, mm-hmm. they were trying to take you out. And I'm just starting to start some friendships between me and these ladies. And necessarily, like, I don't want them to think that I'm team you when I'm neutral in this entire situation.
Either way you slice it, it's fucked up. Because mm-hmm. if you're my friend and you say, look, Ricky, they trying to push you out and I don't want to get pushed out.
So it's fucked up.
Either way you slice it, she dead ass wrong.
So it's fucked up.
She's wrong. That's messy. It's late. It's tired. But Simone and Jackie have proven to be everything Mariah said they were.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk
about
And
how they've been operating is really, really nasty. And I think...
What do you guys think about the fact that Jackie was not held accountable for the comments that she made? Instead, she was just given a platform for her to apologize and for her to just give...
Did we get an apology?
Favoritism.
Yeah. Did we even get an apology?
She didn't get an...
I think to even say or insinuate they thought it was Quad, knowing it was through Heavenly's YouTube, and these words came out of your mouth. And we're not mad about how it got exposed. Right. We're mad at the words and what you say as a woman, as a doctor. And you're still finding some way to blame it on somebody else. I thought that was cruel.
Do you think that Jackie told Dr. Heavenly to bring that
absolutely.
up?
Absolutely. I think Heavenly is Jackie's mouthpiece. She's loud enough and she's strong enough to be able to go against anybody on that couch and don't care. And I think that's part of why I like Heavenly. She doesn't care. But I always say Simone is vile and Jackie's dangerous.
Yeah. And it's like, I always tell people, I do believe in the saying, birds of a feather flock together. In order to be friends with a bitch, you have to be a bitch. And it might not come out and be, seriously, it might not come out and be loud and vulgar. You might be a little more calculated and manipulative or passive
right.
with your bitchiness, but it's there.
Right.
So when you're friends and you have these friend groups with people, y'all have similar traits.
And when you look back at season 1, 2, and 3 of Married to Medicine, Jackie does present that type of behavior, even just with her judgment.
With her fat phobia, with her elitism,
yes.
with her superiority complex, yes. and Heavenly, I do believe Heavenly and Jackie stood on the phone and she got on Patreon and said that Jackie said, oh, you got her together on it. Like,
they kiki. No, she be cutting up on the phone with Heavenly at night, every
Even
night.
When Jackie said to Sweet Tea, I'm a gather baby girl later, you still couldn't say, you know what? I'm at fault for what I did to you.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's the same thing with Buffy. It's the same thing with Mariah. It's consistently Jackie takes no accountability. And I think because Simone don't have Jackie like how Heavenly has Jackie, she crawled over to Toya. Because like you said, if you go back all the way to the first couple of seasons, they didn't like Toya either.
Jackie never forgave Simone for Simone telling her she was wrong about Buffy. She never forgave her. It was over after that. Just like the day Robin tells Giselle, cut it. Mm-hmm. You're wrong. Right.
Well, how do you think that the show can move forward with Quad in the show?
I think they need to... The only person who genuinely has a right to be mad at Quad is Toya. Mm-hmm. The issues between Quad and Toya, because Quad did kind of seem...
That's over.
It's over.
In my opinion, that's over.
It's Toya's, over.
Toya seemed to be willing to move forward in the Reality with the King interview.
Yeah. I think the thing is, Toya wants to move forward because Toya is not the kind of person to want to keep holding grudges. Mm. She wants to feel like she's somebody.
I really like Toya a lot.
Remember, the entire time leading up to this, they always made Toya feel like she was less than them, but not like she doesn't belong there.
Right.
But I think Toya, once she got the apology, that's what she needed. Quad claiming that she was wrong.
Right.
Quad gave her that. But Simone is still riled up because it's like, I want you to be close to me. And Quad's like, I'm really okay. We could just be coworkers. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as Simone keeps on acting like that, Toya herself might not even want to be cool with Simone. Because, again, Toya likes to have fun and, oh, we're drinking wine. We're going to go play tennis. And Simone's very, I don't even want to say the A word, but she's very aggressive sometimes. And she doesn't know how to let loose and have a good time.
Right.
Because even when they were in Vegas, she's yelling and screaming and barking with Heavenly.
But they call her surround sound.
It's too much. And I don't think that's how Toya is all the time, where she can tolerate that.
Well, Phaedra's coming back for 3 more seasons.
Oof. I love Phaedra. I think, you know, I know people was chatting, but they said a lot of her reads got cut out. I feel like now that they got her first season in, their best bet for next season is to let Phaedra get
loose.
I would love for Phaedra to get into it with Jackie personally.
Yeah.
But let Phaedra get into it with somebody. Back up off of Quad. Don't make her bow down and kiss the ring. It doesn't translate well to us because we don't feel like Quad is in the wrong. Give her an opportunity to come back.
I do need a Quad and Toya sit down, though.
Quad and Toya sit down. Let's rebuild the front.
Need that to be the focus.
Can it be a fun setting? I don't want them talk about nothing anymore.
I mean, I don't need them to rehash things. I need them to sit down, to come together and kind of like say, like, hey, like, I'm meeting you at, you know, halfway to say, I want to build on this friendship. Mm-hmm. And how can we do that moving forward? And I feel like the audience would really love to see Quad and Toya come together and kind of like actually both work in their relationship. And you don't know if they come out at the end of a season actually being good friends. And that might
that
ruffle.
Would be a dynamic.
That's what I'm saying. The second Toya can't tolerate Loud Simone no more. It will be a good time.
Quad. And Quad is a good partner. She's a good duo person.
Yes.
The moment the Quad gets an... The reason why Quad has not been likable is because she lost her duo. And I think that the moment Quad gets a new duo, mm-hmm. and Toya is that person that can give Quad that also like dynamic duo kind of like moment, I feel like they will be a force to be reckoned with.
I think if they build trust, because Toya likes to have that trust.
They looky like each other,
yes,
too.
They are very... I think Toya sees a lot of herself in Quad, where she wants that independence. She wants to be able to say, hey, I could pay for this. And Eugene already spilled tea that she makes more money than him.
Yeah,
now.
That was gaggy.
I think Toya wants to have fun. She doesn't want to be screaming and yelling and doing all of that no more. And honestly, you guys said if Phaedra got on to Jackie... You know who Jackie's pitbull is? Heavenly could be screaming with Phaedra.
But Phaedra, you've never seen Phaedra scream. The difference between Heavenly and Phaedra is Heavenly is not a reader. She's just mean. But she's insulting. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to go there with Phaedra, and she knows it.
Right. Right. Well, we'll see how things play out on season 11 of Married to Medicine. Mm-hmm. As our last story of the day before we go, Basketball Wives alum Drea Mitchell,
oh Lord,
39, pregnant, expecting baby with Houston Rockets star Jalen Green, who's 22, and the age of her son.
Her son's 21.
Well, okay, so two.
She's been dating him since he was 19, by the way.
Yeah. So.
Whoa.
This is what I want to discuss here is. He's an adult. Right? And that's just a fact.
She started dating him when he was...
Hold on. He's an adult, right? That's just a fact. She's 39, he's 22. Do you think that age really is a problem? And do you think that this relationship is a problem?
I think the elements of what led up to the relationship is what makes it wonky and
she's
weird.
Been in his life since he was 12 years old.
Right. And not only that, she was also very close with one of his ex-girlfriends where she kind of...
Didn't even know that. That's gaggy.
Yes. Where she was very much so close to one of his ex-girlfriends, know them both at the same time, was trying to get her to model for her, be around her all the time, kind of being a big sis to this girl. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know...
Through her teenage relationship.
I always say, at least wait till you're 25 to date older people. You're able to go places because you're not under 21, although right. It's 22, 21, whatever. You can make some life decisions.
Mm-hmm. You got
and
some
you have
point.
Some type of education, some type of direction where you can manage a grown person.
Right.
Although I don't think Drea has capacity or substance. I mean, you have access to numerous of men.
Right.
You've been that girl for so long.
Right.
And you're playing, I don't want to call him a child because like you said, he's an adult. And he also has fault in this too. Mm-hmm. But you should know a little better. You already have two baby daddies.
Right.
And now you have a toddler and a baby on the way. Right. And the toddler is just like, it doesn't make sense.
I'm 26 and I wouldn't date anybody under 23. So I don't see how someone that's 39.
Listen.
Before can date a 22-year-old.
Before what I say, what I'm about to say, I mm-hmm. love Drea. She has the best BBL in the game. Okay. Down. Beautiful girl.
Allegedly.
It is a good BBL.
It's a great BBL. It's predatory, right? And I think it's intentional. I think it was calculated in dating him and getting pregnant. I think her wonder years as a it girl are dwindling. It's new girls entering the fold.
Damn, you think Drea is that calculated?
Yes.
Wow.
She you have to understand.
She might lack think the yourself. Stuff,
I give no. I give. Girl, I give people too much. That's my problem. Like I swear, people are not evil.
Think
in,
of yourself.
In reality.
At, think of yourself at 40. Think of yourself at 20. Mm-hmm. Think of yourself at 19. Mm-hmm. Right. What would you have in common with yourself at 26?
Nothing.
Dating wise.
Right. No, I wouldn't
about,
date. I wouldn't be in this situation.
What is a 19? All right. What does a 21-year-old have in common with a 40-year-old dating wise?
I think the real problem too is to when you really think about it, she has another child that's the same age as him.
Right.
And I'm not like, oh, don't date, whatever. Do whatever you want. You're both grown. But when you're breaking it down to pieces to know that she knew him from when he was 12, this wasn't a stranger that she randomly
was very weird, actually.
Flirted with him. And then, you know, because sometimes that does happen.
Right.
Where you meet somebody, you're starting to chatting up with them, and you're like, oh, damn, I like them. And they're young and you've grown. And you have some stuff in common. But she kind of planned it. That's where I'm going to leave it. She planned it.
Because she was his ex-girlfriend was like a little sister to her. So she probably went around, oh, he getting all this money. Come hang out, sis. Come model for Men's Swim, you know. And then Drea has been a fantasy for a lot of these young kids. He's 21. Yes. She's 40. She's been, since she was a stripper back in her heyday, she's been an it girl for like 20 years.
Do you think that this is nailing her nail in the coffin when it comes to being in the industry and possibly being on reality TV again?
I think she's been out of the industry. I think people kind of left her to do her over there.
She has managed to stay somewhat relevant. And I think that's due to the fact that in black culture, not only that, but also like in black culture, like the Shade Room and Neighborhood on Talk, like, keep people famous just by posting you every day. You could be sitting at home doing shit and they will still keep you famous just by posting you every week.
I do recall, like, a lot of people stopped liking her because she made the comment of, like, something about with domestic violence where she's okay with a little tussle, something like that.
She said she would have been okay with her man shooting her in the foot or something.
Yes,
like that.
some weird comment. And people from then kind of like was like, okay, girl, go on ahead. And I don't know where in her mind, if you knew somebody from when they were 12, that kind of makes me feel like you were fantasizing about
him. That's weird.
And I think that's why he's cool with it too, is because a lot of these guys, they know, they're probably like, ooh, I got Drea now.
Right.
And now.
But it's kind of like when you growing up and it's like, all right, I had Lil Romeo on my wall. I had all these people on my wall. But as a grown person, if Amorian is like, yo, Ricky, what's up? You're like, oh my God, I used to think you were so cute when I was a kid. Right. You know what I'm saying? So.
Especially like, you know, you're making it out from wherever you come from. You don't really come from that space.
Then you have
the ability.
And then it's like his father was in the NBA. So it's like it's layers to it.
Right.
She's been around for a long time.
Well,
I would have been somewhat okay with it if it was two strangers that met, that vibed, and they kept it, you know, they fell in love.
I would have never been okay with it.
I don't know.
Because we get in on men about predatory behavior all the time. Taking advantage of young women. So
women do the same.
I'm not going to spare her. It's predatory. It's nasty. It's gross. It's like her sleeping with her son's friend. Ma'am, it's like her sleeping with one of her son's friends. They're the same age.
Oh, I thought you were saying that already happened.
No, so it's just gross. And I just think I'm not going to condone it. I think it's predatory. I think it's gross. Next caller.
Definitely next caller. Well, that has been our show. Katie, and thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of Reality Right After.
Of course.
Make sure that you guys tell them where to follow you and, you know, everything.
All the social medias.
Don't spray me.
It's my name with an underscore.
And we'll put that all on the screen. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you guys subscribe to Reality Right After on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Reality Rundown YouTube channel, because that's where we come on air every Monday. So make sure to tune in to Reality Right After for your latest and greatest from your fan favorites here on the Reality Rundown. Thank you. Bye.